I've been so excited about what God's doing in our ministry just in the last few weeks. And we're so grateful to you folks for letting us use your fellowship hall on Wednesday nights. Yeah, we pick up about anywhere between 35 and 60, sometimes more, children every week and preach to them. And it's awesome. We love it. And we haven't had a place for a while. And now we're so excited that you are with us. So I'm going to connect this. Let's see. Here we go. Okay. So I see you all start at 10 a.m. So does that mean we get to go till noon? Are we good with that? Amen. I'm so excited. Thank y'all. But I'm just kidding. Yes. Good morning to our live stream folks. Thank y'all for joining us. We're at a different location this morning. We're at Park Place Baptist Church. And I would call this a joint service because some of our New Heart Baptist Church folks are here. Park Place folks are here. And we're having a great time of worship this morning. We're so excited to be in a sanctuary. This is wonderful. We're so excited about what God may be doing here with us. I don't know. But let's all listen to the Lord and see what He wants to do, because I know He's doing something. And I'm really excited and I'm really grateful for you. And this might be an opportunity for us to come together and reach the community of Thomasville for Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, we're living in a very dark time. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. And the only answer to the darkness of this world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only answer. So let's, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to read two verses there. And then we'll jump over to chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I have spoken on this passage many times on Mother's Day. But this morning I just see a new, there is not a new interpretation of it at all. But I just see new applications for us in the day that we're living in. And new truths. Hopefully we grow in the faith. And if we've shared something 5 years ago, hopefully we've grown in the faith and know a little more and have a little more insight. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, Paul is speaking here. And he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. He's writing to young preacher boy Timothy. He calls him his son in the faith. And he says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Now turn over to chapter 3 for me, and we'll begin reading in verse 10, but I want to refer back to the first 9 verses of this chapter as we go through this. But beginning in verse 10, the Bible says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And boy, this is a true statement that we all need to hear. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Just mark that one down. Verse 13, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Will you join me in prayer? And Heavenly Father, we just bow down to you right now through Jesus. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this hour that we're together. I pray that we would focus on you right now, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would allow the Word of God to go forth in your power We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to preach and to help us to hear. So, Lord, we pray for freedom and power and authority now. Please don't let the enemy hinder what you want us to say or hear. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If I get lost, I'm sorry. I messed up on my notes, and I have two sets of notes here, so I might be going back and forth a little bit. But that's why we're praying for freedom, for the Lord to give us freedom this morning. But I would say to you, first of all, this morning, there's no more influential role on this earth than a mother's influence. The newborn baby born, first placed in mom's arms. The first person that the baby bonds with is mom. The first voice that the baby hears is mom. So mom, you get the very first call in bringing children, your children, to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that my mom, just like Charles Stanley's mom, she wasn't able to teach me theology. But I remember she taught me as a little boy John 3:16, among other things. But I particularly remember that, and I remember asking her one time, what does perish mean? And bless her heart, she tried so hard to describe to me in her best layman's terms that she could what perish means and what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life. And I'll tell you, the seed was planted then and was very influential in me coming to Christ later in life. Well, the background of this, and we'll be back in chapter 1, particularly verse 5, but the background of this is really in chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And if you want to read a description of the day we're living in, just read it. But you could have read that 30 years ago and said the same thing to folks 30 years ago. If you want to read a description of our day, just read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. You could have even read that in 1886. Why do I say that? Because Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers, preached a message on this passage in 1886, and it was applicable in his day. This was applicable in Paul and Timothy's day. History repeats itself, and we know Paul is listing all of the darkness that's happening, and we're living under that same darkness that Paul was seeing today. And that Charles Spurgeon was seeing in his time, and that people 30 years ago were seeing. And we might think this is the worst we've ever had it. I'm not sure about that, but we are in the midst of a pandemic. We're in the midst of a very dark, cancel culture. Get rid of Christianity. Get rid of the Bible. Live freely. And boy, we're living in some dark times. And I would tell you that the remedy that Paul tells Timothy is the same remedy for us today. This pandemic of false doctrine was in the air then. It's in the air today. And the remedy is this. Preach the gospel. Live the gospel. That's it. Preach the truth of the gospel and live holy lives. Charles Spurgeon said it like this. Truth and holiness are the best antidotes to error and unrighteousness. And I would say to you, that is so true. The same remedy that Moses offered to the people of Israel is the remedy we can have today. For those who were bitten by the fiery serpents, lift up the brazen serpent, and those who would look would live. Today, for all who are being bitten by the culture and the darkness and sin, raise up the cross, raise up the Lord Jesus Christ, look to Jesus and live. The Bible says, and the gospel is the antidote to this disease that we're seeing today. There's no cure for a dark world but the light of Jesus Christ. And a mom and a grandmom are the unsung heroes in this passage. And I want us to look at that in just a moment, because who do you think taught Timothy the Holy Scriptures that we just read here in verse 15? From his childhood. It was his mother and his grandmother. They planted the seed in Timothy when he was but an infant. And we'll talk about that in a moment. And I want to encourage all moms here today. I want to encourage all of us here today. This is applicable for all of us. Moms, for your children. But all of us. We can invest in children today, and it is very important that we do so. Now, you know that we have a children's ministry. Well, we call it that, but I really call it a family ministry on Wednesday nights. That was really not our intention. to have just a children's ministry, but it's just what God's been doing. And please know right now, I'm not a children's pastor, so don't think that. This is my passion, to be able to stand before you and preach the Word of God. And I can't do that without His help. But I want you to know this morning that if we will take this serious, all of us, moms and all of us, and if we take this serious, moms, you can make a difference in your children's life, and you can plant the seeds now and in their lives to see them come to Christ one day. If we all take this serious, we can make a difference, particularly in the life of children. Preach Jesus, preach the Word, teach the children the truth. Preach the gospel, live the gospel, and teach children the Word of God. That's the remedy. That's the remedy. Because did you know that right now, Dr. Erwin Lutzer has a book on, and I can't think of the name of it. I know it, but I can't think of it. But it's something about We Will Stand. I'll think of the name of it later. And he's talking about what's going on now. He wrote it last year during the pandemic, that we're seeing Marxism coming to America. And Marxism is just a form of socialism and communism, and it seeks to win the hearts of people by the gradual transformation of the culture. And it's all based on worldly values and wisdom and not Christian values. And one of the keys, and you got to know this, one of the keys of this teaching is to destroy the nuclear family. The family that we know with a father, mother, and children. And so the key to all of this is feminine upheaval. Mothers are being encouraged to leave their children for others to raise as they join the workforce. Children are then left to attend state-sponsored daycares and schools where they can be taught the errors of the Bible, creationism, the errors of creationism, and the errors of the church. And they want to indoctrinate our children to change the culture. Now, did you hear that? That's what is going on today. They want to indoctrinate our children to change the culture. What can you do, Mom? What can you and I do as the church? We need to counter that by preaching the gospel to the children and teaching the truth to the children now. We got to stand up for the truth. We must preach the truth. And so I want to say to you, Mom, stay at your post. Now I want you to know what Timothy's mom and grandma did here. And we'll go back to chapter 1 now in verse 5. And I want you to see the kind of faith that we need to have. I want you to see the kind of faith that moms need to have to be able to do this task. And it's so important that we're doing this now. And it is so important to me. I tell you, I really am praying. I've been praying when my children were little and now they're grown. But I still pray that my sons will live for Jesus and marry a lady who loves the Lord Jesus. And I pray my daughter will grow up and love Jesus Christ with all her heart and marry a man who's sold out to Him. And so I want to encourage us as we look at this today, what kind of faith we need to have. First of all, if you look in verse 5 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, it's a faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Chapter 1, verse 5 of 2 Timothy says this. Look at it again. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. So what kind of faith, moms, are we to have? What kind of faith are we to have to reach our children for Christ? What kind of faith are we to have to invest in the life of others, even teenagers and adults that God may put in our life? First of all, we must have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a personal faith in Jesus Christ that He's talking about right here. Faith in anything else is useless. Now, you'll know this if you look in your Bibles, that the context is clear that the faith He's talking about is a faith in Christ. Verse 2. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 9, look at what he says. Make sure I'm in the right place here. Yeah, he's talking about who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And then over in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 3, we see that it's a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a faith knowing the Holy Scriptures, which is able to lead, make you wise unto salvation, to place your faith in Christ. So I want us to know this morning that it is very important that we have faith in Jesus Christ alone, and we teach others that it's only through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And the Bible says over in chapter 3, verse 15, that Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures from childhood. And he's talking about that faith in Christ. I want to come back to that in just a few moments. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there's salvation in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one. That is so important. I know this may seem elementary to us, but do we really think about what Jesus said? No one, he said, comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said that. There's no other way to be saved but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And a genuine personal faith in Him is what Timothy's mother and grandmother had. You see it in verse 5 of chapter 1? Look at it again. Which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. That's a faith in Jesus Christ that they had. I know I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I know what I'm telling you this morning is truth. There's no other way for a person to be saved and go to heaven but through faith in Jesus Christ alone. There's no other way to be forgiven of our sins but through faith in Jesus Christ alone. No other way to win a child to Christ, to be saved, to go to heaven, but to teach them that the only way is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Wednesday night, I'm not bragging on us, I promise I'm not, but Wednesday night we had, 35 kids over in your fellowship hall. And we take this serious, folks. We're teaching them about death and what happens after death right now. We're teaching them that there's really a place called heaven and there's really a place called hell. We taught them Wednesday night about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we made sure to be so careful at the end to tell them that there's only one way that you can be ready when Jesus comes back, that you'll go with Him. And there's only one way to know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven. And it is through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. That you see your sin and that you turn to Jesus and that you're relying on Jesus. You're resting in Jesus. You're looking to Jesus. And it is so important that we instill that in our children. And it is so important, moms, you're the first ones. You get the first shot at this with your children. You're the first ones that get to do this. It is so important. If you don't teach your children anything else in this world, teach them that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to go to heaven. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to have a full and abundant life now. So important. So important that they know that. So important that we uphold that as the church. If we don't uphold anything else, and we need to uphold a lot of things, but if we don't uphold anything else, let's uphold the gospel of Jesus Christ. The true gospel according to the Word of God. Let's make sure that we're doing that. It's a faith in Jesus. And Timothy, who became a great preacher and was greatly used by God, was saved by one day placing his faith in Jesus Christ, which his mother and grandmother also had. And if you have a mom who has faith in Christ and told you of it when you were little, and now you know Christ, praise God for your mom who played that important role in your life. Secondly, not only do I want us to see that it's a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that is of utmost importance, but secondly, listen now, this is so important. Secondly, it must be a faith that is genuine. Look at your Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 again. The Bible says, Timothy says, when I call to remembrance, I'm reading from the New King James Version, when I call to remembrance the genuine. See that word, genuine? If you're reading the King James Version, your word is unfeigned. You see it? Unfeigned. Genuine faith. Do a word study on that word. Look it up in the Greek language. That word literally means, literal, non-hypocritical. That's what that word unfeigned means. That's what that word genuine means. It's a non-hypocritical faith that Timothy's grandma, mom, and Timothy had. What's non-hypocritical? Well, if you want to see what a hypocritical faith is, if you want to turn with me just for a moment to Matthew 23. Can y'all handle this morning? Are y'all okay if I share this with you? Okay, you sure? This is going to be hard. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 23. Now, this is loving Jesus. You know, this is sweet, loving Jesus that we often talk about. You want to see what hypocritical faith is that you don't want to have? Just read Matthew 23. We don't have time to read all of it right now. We just want to read a few portions. I got to find my place here so I can read the right verses and make sure I'm in the right place. Matthew chapter 23 is where you are. Yeah, just look over in verse 15 of Matthew 23. I'm just going to give you a couple of verses because I'm scared we can't handle all this. I'm just kidding. Here's what it says. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. This is Jesus speaking. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Whew. Woe to you, blind guides! Woo, look over in verse 23, I believe it is. Yeah. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, and here's the remedy Jesus said for hypocritical faith. Here it is right here. First cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Amen. That's the remedy. Jesus gives us a description of what hypocritical faith is. It's not real. It's just play acting. It's just saying, I believe in Jesus. It's just all outward. It's all fleshly. It's all surface stuff to be seen by others. It's not coming from the heart. It's not real. That's a hypocritical faith. And Jesus says, clean the inside. How do you clean the inside? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and He gives you a new heart. Amen. And He gives you a new heart. And then He says the outside will be clean. You don't have to clean the outside because if you get a new heart, it'll just automatically start happening and we'll start cleaning ourselves up. So that's the remedy. That's the kind of faith we don't want to pass down. That's the kind of faith we want to make sure we don't have, is hypocritical faith. No, the word here in the Bible is unfeigned. The word here is non-hypocritical. The word here is real. You ever heard somebody spoken of you know, well, let me just say it like this. My brother Joe's with me this morning, and he taught Sunday school. I don't know if any of you were in Michael's class this morning where Joe taught this morning. And we were talking last week about Joe coming and teach, and I'll just describe Joe like this. He's the real deal. That's all I know to tell you. I'll let him share his testimony maybe with you someday, but Joe's the real deal. Jesus really saved him. He can tell you about it someday. Have you ever heard somebody described as just the real deal? They're just real. They really know Jesus. They really love the Bible. They really love the Lord. They're not pretending. They're not play acting. You just know it's real. Amen? That's the kind of faith Timothy's mother and grandmother had. And that's the kind of faith that Timothy grew up seeing. Now, you know, his dad wasn't a Christian. The Bible says over in Acts that it speaks of here, of Timothy's grandma and mother, Eunice and Lois, and it speaks of them and their genuine faith. But the only thing the Bible says about Timothy's dad is one little phrase, he was a Greek. Nothing else. So more than likely, he was lost. He did not know the Lord Jesus. It was mom and grandma whom Timothy heard with his ears, taught the Bible, and it was mom and grandma who really lived it as he grew up in front of him. What they said with their mouth and taught with their mouth from the Scriptures, he also saw in their lives. And it made a difference in Timothy, and the seed was planted. Now, probably Paul is the one who actually won him over to the Lord when he was converted. But it was mom and grandma and their genuine, unfeigned, non-hypocritical faith that made the difference in his life, that God used to sow the seed and even to water the seed. That's the kind of faith Timothy had in Christ. That's why he made such a difference for the Lord. That's why he was such an awesome preacher. They were real. They were not phonies. Timothy looked at his mother and grandmother through the years and saw that they were real. Not playing church. Not pretending to know Jesus. They really knew him. And that is so important, folks. We got to make sure we're careful, moms. We got to make sure we're careful, church, with our children. Not to just tell them, all right, you need to join the church. You need to say a prayer. Go through these motions. Well, we need to teach them that a relationship with Jesus Christ is real. And it's from the heart. We need to teach them the truth. And so that's what we're trying to do on Wednesday nights. That's what I want us all to do. That's what moms, I hope you'll be doing, is teaching the children the truth of heaven and hell. And righteousness and unrighteousness. And sin. And sin passed down from Adam and Eve. And judgment and righteousness. And faith in Christ as the only remedy. And the gospel that Jesus Christ is God. And that He bled and died up on a cross. He really did bleed and He really did die. And He really did raise up from the dead. And He really will save anybody who will call upon His name. Oh, that our faith would be real, genuine, non-hypocritical. But then thirdly, I want us to see, not only must our faith be real, moms. Not only must our faith be in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, but thirdly and lastly, it's got to be a faith that is passed on. Now, notice what the Bible says. All right, now we're going to look again at verse 5 in chapter 1. I'm going to read it again. Notice the Bible says, when I call to remembrance the genuine, unfeigned, non-hypocritical faith that is in you, but look, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Now, go over to chapter 3, verse 15. And while you're turning there, I want you to know, first of all, this faith began, first of all, who's mentioned first in chapter 1, verse 5? Grandma, right? It first dwelt in your grandmother Lois. So sometime in grandmother Lois's life, she truly placed her faith in Jesus Christ, and it was real, and she lived for Jesus. And sometime she passed that on to her daughter Eunice. And she probably taught Eunice the Bible early in her life. And sometime in Eunice's life, that seed took hold, and God gave the increase, and God saved her through faith in Christ. What they knew in those times of Christ. We know it all now. We have all of the Bible. They only had the Old Testament. And then Eunice passed it on to Timothy. Actually, Grandma and Eunice were present in Timothy's life, if we're reading the Bible correct here. So now look, I want to show you something in chapter 3. All right, look in verse 14 again. During these dark times, Timothy, what do? When evil men are waxing worse and worse, when we're being persecuted for the faith, when sin is rampant, what do we do? What do, Timothy? But you, Paul says, Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Time out. Who is it? Is Paul bragging on himself right there? You need to remember who you learned these from, buddy. I taught you well. I don't think so. Maybe a little bit, but he's not being egotistical if he is saying that. I think he's talking about grandma and mom here. Because notice the next verse, verse 15. Notice now, this is cool. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Well, Paul wasn't in his childhood. Matter of fact, do another word study on that word childhood. Guess what? Original Greek language, it means from infancy. From infancy up, mom and grandma must have read the Bible to him. And you know what? I think that's important that we read the Bible to infants. From infancy up, let them start learning the Holy Scriptures and learning the Bible. Why? Because look at what it says. The Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation. You see that? If we teach children the Word of God, That's all they need, because this right here is able to make them wise unto salvation. Yeah, we need to be careful what we teach. I mean, we know that little kids can't understand deep truth, so we need to make sure we focus on the simple things that they can understand in the gospel. But this right here is what's able to make people wise unto salvation. And what is salvation? Look at the next part of that verse. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches us that. And Timothy's mama and grandma taught Timothy, since he was an infant, the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And it worked. And God planted Paul in his life. And Paul finished the work that mom and grandma did, but actually God's the one that gives the increase. You know, the Bible says one plants, one waters, but God giveth the increase. Amen. So none of us can really take credit for anybody being saved. But that's not to say that we're not an important role, that God uses us to win others to Christ. And we need to take that serious. And mom and grandma did. From infancy, they taught him the Bible. Charles Spurgeon said this, listen, I'm almost done, I promise. Give us the first 7 years of a child with God's grace, and we may defy the world, the flesh, and the devil to ruin that immortal soul. That is awesome. He went on to say, mothers, the godly training of your offspring is your first and most pressing duty. Christian women, by teaching children the Holy Scriptures, are as much fulfilling their part for the Lord as Moses in judging Israel or Solomon in building the temple. That is so true. And this is so important, folks. We can learn from this. If Timothy's mom and grandma taught Timothy the Bible early in life, we need to take that serious. Not only as moms who are listening today, maybe you're listening online. We need to take that serious. And there may be some moms that are saying, you know what? I don't even have faith in Christ. Well, you just need to get saved right now. What an awesome testimony that'll be for your children. Come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus today. For salvation. And church, we need to take this serious. Let's don't put children on the back burner and just send them out to children's church and this is where it's most important. Let's don't do that. Because I'm telling you, if we don't reach this next generation for Christ, the devil is standing at the door, crouching at the door. And he's got a whole bunch of help. There's a lot of ungodliness in this world who are, I promise, please listen to me, they are after our children. They're after our children on the internet. They're after our children in daycares. They're trying to reform what they teach our children in daycares, in public schools. I'm telling you, if we don't teach our children Jesus and the gospel, the world's not going to do it for us. It's our duty. Let's take it serious, folks. Bible says in Psalm 102, verse 18, let this be recorded for a generation to come so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Amen. This is the kind of faith that passes on. Thinking about, as I close, my preaching professor, Dr. Belcher. And Dr. Belcher made such an influence in my preaching and in my life. And he went to be with the Lord last year in January of 2020, before the pandemic broke out. Dr. Belcher always gave a testimony that his mom was the vessel that God used to bring him to Christ. His dad was a professing Christian, but later on they realized he wasn't real. He walked away from the faith, proving his profession was false. Dr. Belcher's mom decided, I've got to be the godly force in the household now. She's left by herself to raise her children in the Lord and to have a godly heritage. And she prayed and she taught her sons the Word of God and her daughter. And praise the Lord, I'm able to say to you that Dr. Belcher said as a teenager, he got away from the Lord, but he couldn't escape his mother's prayers and his mother's influence. And he came back to the Lord at age 17, surrendered his life to the ministry, and what a difference he's made in this world before he went to be with Jesus. Winning people to Jesus, preaching the gospel all over the world, and teaching preacher boys like me how to preach the gospel. Charles Stanley's another one I could give you this morning, but I don't have time to tell you the whole story. But Charles Stanley could tell you that his mom wasn't smart enough to teach him theology, but she did the best she could as a single mom raising her son to know the Bible and to know the gospel. And look at the difference Charles Stanley's made in this world. Moms, take it serious. To be moms, remember this message. Church, let's remember this. You might be saying this morning, what do I do if God's speaking to me and my faith might not be real? What do I do? Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus. You say, what if I'm confused now? I don't know if my faith is real or not. I tell you, a great prayer. You know, some of the greatest prayers in the Bible were real short. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's a good one. But your prayer, if you're confused this morning, would be, Lord Jesus, I do believe in you. Help my unbelief. That's a great prayer in the Bible to pray. And He will, I promise. If you're here today, you say, I know I'm saved. Praise the Lord. That faith shouldn't be kept to yourself. Pass it on. Pass it on to children. Pass it. Invest in whomever God's putting in your path. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would take this task serious of investing in the lives of children. I pray that moms would take this serious to make sure that our faith is in Christ alone, that our faith is genuine, and that we pass this faith on. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And if there's anybody here today that's not saved or listening on the internet, if they're not saved, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes, open their heart. Bring them to Jesus right now. Help them to see their need to repent of their sins and look to Jesus and live. And for those who are saved, as a church, Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to reach our children for Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.